Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want more to feel trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got joy? Well, you're gonna. This is Wretched Radio. If you have been lacking in joy and increasing love for your Savior, it is time for you to meditate on the doctrine of justification.
Justification is this. It is an instantaneous legal act of God in which he, number one, decides to think of our sins as forgiven and Christ's righteousness as belonging to us, and number two, declares us to be righteous in his sight. We come to God with our sin mess, and we're under his wrath, and we come to him in brokenness, acknowledging our bankruptcy. We give up on ourselves and our own puny, self-righteous efforts, and we deposit our trust in Jesus. And a decision is rendered, and God makes a decision to think forever of our sins as forgiven from that moment on, and to think of Christ's righteousness as belonging to us. And God declares, and trust me, this is an enthusiastic declaration. It's not, all right, you're justified. No, we learn later in Romans 5, justification comes abounding to sinners. In other words, it comes with an exclamation point. It doesn't matter what kind of sins you've committed. If you've never believed in Jesus up to this point, and you just bring your sins and your sinful self to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put your trust in him tonight, God will be pleased to render this decision about you. God will be pleasured, and enthusiastically, he will decide that starting tonight, he will forever think of your sins as forgiven, and he will forever think of Christ's perfect, spotless righteousness as belonging to you. And God says, I will now treat you as if you've never sinned, because your sins are forgiven, and I will now forever treat you for all of eternity as if you did all the righteous things that Jesus did. That's a great deal.
It is the best deal. That is Pastor Milton Vincent, author of The Gospel Primer. It is currently available at wretched.org/gospel. Why? Because we all need this. And it's not just because of the season that we are currently living in. We need this all the time because this is the best thing there is. Understanding that because of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are forever justified. If you don't have that gospel primer, encourage you to get it at wretched.org/gospel. It is written by the very man who just spoke those words in a sermon on justification, a legal declaration that is enthusiastically proclaimed about you. Forever beloved. It's not merely forgiven. It is forever beloved. And that is what makes justification a big deal. That is what makes justification yours through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone.
Paul says in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way anyone will ever get God to render this verdict about them is through Jesus. It comes to us through Jesus. And yet there are so many people who want God to render this verdict about them. In fact, I believe almost everyone who believes there's a God, what they're all bucking for is that they're going to stand before God one day and God says, you're righteous. You're righteous enough to get into heaven. Just about everyone wants that. But rather than consulting with God on how to get that verdict, they come up with their own ideas about how to get that verdict. A number of years ago, USA Today did a survey of over 640 Americans, and they asked the question, it's an interesting question for a national newspaper, they asked the question, what do you think are your chances of getting into heaven are. And they got a variety of responses. I just want to read one response from a woman in Hammond, Indiana. She says, my chances are kind of slim, maybe 50-50. I have to be more of a nice person, but I'm still in the running. This is a woman who is looking to herself. And what a poor existence. And she lives her life not certain whether she's going to get this verdict on Judgment Day or not. At best, it's 50-50, but she's like, I got to be more of a nice person. I'm still in the running, but I'm not sure of the outcome. What I would want to say to her and to anyone who's depending upon themselves and their own righteousness to get into heaven is this, that if you're interested in having God render this verdict of justification upon you, listen to God, who's going to render that verdict, tell you how to get him to render that verdict. And God says it's only through Jesus.
And him alone. Why? Because Jesus Christ is that good to bring about our justification, which also brings about a little something I suspect you're itching for these days. P-E-A-C-E.
The word peace, as many of you know, speaks of more than just the absence of hostility. It speaks of the luxurious presence of all that is needed to have a rich and a vital and an intimate relationship with the sovereign God of the universe. We now observe that though our justification, yes, is legal, it was rendered with a profoundly relational intention by God.
Brace yourself.
God has justified you if you believed in Jesus in order to bring you into close, rich, vital relationship with himself. God justified you. He would say, listen, I did the whole justification thing to get the sin out of the way, to get you clothed with the righteousness of my son so that I can now give myself to you and we can have a friendship and have a relationship. I love what the commentator Cranfield says. God does not confer the status of righteousness upon us without at the same time giving himself to us in friendship and establishing peace between himself and us.
Please drink this in. Don't glide over the top of this. Don't skim on the doctrine of justification and that you now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let yourself feel this.
I want you, don't brush this off. I want to ask you tonight, do you receive what I'm saying? Do you believe that God actually wants a rich, vital, luxurious friendship characterized by intimacy and closeness with you? Do you believe that? Do you believe you're justified and the reason he justified you was not as an end in itself, but as a means to a greater end of now having a relationship with you? Answer that question in your heart. I'll never forget a number of years ago, I was talking to a man in our church who had known the Lord for 9 years. And I knew how long he had known the Lord because I had led him to the Lord 9 years earlier. But he seemed pretty low and discouraged. And I was meeting with him on a Friday morning. And right before he left, I stopped him and I asked him, I said, brother, are you enjoying intimacy with God? Are you enjoying intimacy with God? And this man turned around and looked at me and he said, listen to his words. He said, oh, Milton, you have no idea the things I did before I was saved. Do you realize what he was saying by that? This is a man who would say, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, my sins are forgiven, I'm justified. But God wouldn't want a close relationship with me. And he's like, and I'm okay with that. I don't even deserve that. I'm okay to just be forgiven and to have a home in heaven, but closeness with God, that's for people who haven't done the things I did before I was saved. And it was my joy to speak these truths into this brother. No, God justified you and forgave you so that he could bring you into intimate friendship with himself.
Do you believe that beyond being able to answer the question rightly on a theological exam. God sent his son to deal with your sin problem so that, not just to deal with your sin problem, and that is a big deal, so that you can be in an intimate relationship with God. The Lord of the universe desires that and has provided a means for that, so that when you wake up in the morning and you think, okay, I've got to get my quiet time done or my prayers offered, you're not praying to an idol carved of wood. You're praying to the Lord who sent his son to die for you, a sinner, so that you can know him, talk to him, and hear from him through his word, and have peace with God. Have you digested that lately, or have you just maybe taken a couple of nibbles and moved on to other doctrines for the sake of learning? If you don't have peace today, please do not move off of this point until you do. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, hello there. Thanks for stopping by to Wretched Radio. Okay, that sounded a little creepy, but regardless, thank you for tuning in to Wretched Radio today. We do appreciate you listening to the radio program every single day, and we also want to point you in the direction of Wretched TV. That's right, a 30-minute program hosted by Todd each and every day. It contains live witnessing encounters, discussions of tough theological issues, and various topics in the Christian community. You can watch those full-length Wretched TV episodes right now, available to you at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV. Also, Wretched is available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV. You know, it's only because of our gospel partners that we can make Wretched TV available to everyone. So if you're not a gospel partner, would you please consider becoming one? You can get all the details on that at wretched.org/donate and help us to continue to make Wretched available to everybody. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 Little Disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Hey, yo, fam. It's your main man, Jimmy Jam. Apparently, the hip and relevant thing to do these days is target millennials, and that's exactly what we've done, too. We found our very own millennial, John Fabares, who put together a squad and hit the road to tackle the tough issues that millennials are struggling with. Why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What is truth? Millennials have questions, and Road Trip to Truth is answering those questions in a clear, concise, and biblical manner. We want to reach this generation, your kids and your grandkids, and we believe this resource is an excellent way to open the door to important conversations we need to be having. Visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copy of this 13-episode series, along with the Bible study that's perfect for middle schoolers through adults. It's roadtriptotruth.org. Roadtriptotruth.org.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called God and Savior. If Jesus were only human, his death could not have paid our debt. But Jesus is both man and God, able to represent us, yet able to bear the wrath of the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't get it? Yet, this is Wretched Radio. Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer, available at wretched.org/gospel. I heartily commend it to you. Preaching on the doctrine of justification, that it's a big deal, that your sins can be forgiven only through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be totally justified. It is yours forever, a legal, joyful declaration, forgiven and made righteous, all yours through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might have peace with God. And if you have not yet drunk that in, perhaps this visual from Milton Vincent will help you.
Imagine you come to the cross, you believe in Jesus, your burden rolls off your back, your sin burden, you get clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, and you're like, whoa, this is amazing. And then Jesus comes to you and says, oh, you think that's amazing? There's so much more. And he says, come with me. I want to take you to my Father now. That's what this is all about. That's the whole reason I got you dressed up like this, so you could actually be in my Father's presence. And he grabs you and he takes you by the arm. And imagine whatever scene you want, a beautiful palace scene. And he's taking you to the palace of the sovereign king of the universe. And as you get closer and closer to that palace, your heart maybe starts to shrink back in fear. Like, do I really want to see and be seen by this God under whose wrath I used to be? And Jesus takes you down whatever corridors. And then here you come to the door, behind which is this God of the universe. And you shrink back at the door and you're like, I don't know, Jesus. And Jesus says, trust me. My Father thinks of you as forgiven. And he thinks of you as righteous with my righteousness. Just trust me. Come with me inside this room. And we come inside the room and there's God. And he greets us in warm friendship and relationship. And we're like, I can't believe I'm here and I'm not being struck dead. And then after we're in his presence for a couple minutes, we're like, should I stay or should I leave? How long do I get to stay here? And if I leave after a couple minutes, I'm going to spend the rest of my life celebrating the fact that I got to spend a couple minutes with the sovereign king of the universe. And we look at Jesus and it's like, I'm feeling kind of awkward. I mean, should I leave now? And Jesus says, no, actually, I brought you in here because you're welcome to stay here for the rest of your life. John Stott says, justified believers enjoy a blessing far greater than an occasional audience with the king. We are privileged to live in the temple and in the palace with that king. We get to stay under God's grace at all times.
That is what Jesus has done for you. Lying in a gutter, filthy, smelly, disgusting. He comes along, cleans you up, dresses you up, not to keep you sitting in the gutter, but for a reason. He gussies you up so that you can enjoy a relationship with God himself. This isn't being clothed with his righteousness just so that God doesn't see you as if it's somehow making you invisible from his wrath. No, he dresses you up in robes of righteousness so that you can be in his presence and enjoy him forever. May I ask you, do you get that?
Notice how Paul uses the word grace. Verse 2, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace, which we stand. What does the word grace mean? Undeserved favor, right? Whenever you see grace, think favor and think undeserved. In fact, think ill-deserved. In other words, it's not only have we not earned it, but it's the opposite of what we have earned. That's grace. And you might look at what Paul's saying and say, all right, so Paul's telling me I'm in God's gracious favor, I'm in God's presence, and I don't deserve it. Why does Paul have to throw that up in my face? You're here, but you don't deserve to be here. Paul actually has a wonderful intention here. Guys, if we can lay hold of the fact that our being in God's good favor and being in his presence and having a friendship with him, if we can just get it through our heads that it's all an ill-deserved favor, it will forever cure us of ever thinking we have anything to do with earning that. It will forever cure us of thinking on our good days that we deserve to be here, and on our bad days of thinking, I guess I don't deserve to be here because I've done some bad things today. We don't realize it, but there's actually arrogance underneath that. You realize that? If on a bad day you're like, oh, I don't deserve to be in God's presence and I'm out of his favor, what that means is yesterday on your good day, you actually thought you deserved it. Come on. We don't deserve good favor on our best days any more than our worst days. Guys, I'm trying to deliver you from an ugly cycle I've been on many times in my life. We need to preach this grace to ourselves on our good days, not just our bad days. There have been times in my life where I've been doing really well spiritually, practicing the disciplines, in the Word, praying, and ministering to other people, sharing the gospel with others, and I'm doing really good, and the devil comes along and just kind of says, hey, Milton, you're doing well lately. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. He's like, I mean, you're in the Word. Look at that. Look at you. In the Word and practicing the disciplines. That's great. And I'm like, yeah. And he'll say, kind of looking around, Milton, you're actually doing a lot better than other people around you in the church, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. And then he'll say this. God must really favor you because of how well you're doing. And there have been times I've said, yeah, yeah. And you guys know exactly what happens after that, right? The rug gets pulled out from underneath me. I fail in some significant way. And because I bought into the lie that I deserved his favor to any degree, now that I have failed, I now believe I've lost that favor. Guys, preach this truth to yourself on your best days as much as you do on your worst days.
Pastor Milton Vincent, author of Gospel Primer, an encouragement for you to get that book at wretched.org/gospel so that you can indeed preach the gospel to yourself every day so that you can enjoy the luxurious peace that is offered through you, granted to you through Jesus Christ alone, so that you can have joy.
Don't have the attitude of, okay, I'm justified, glad that's taken care of. Okay, Lord, give me rules to live by. I'm going to do this sanctification thing. Don't do that. God actually wants you. He justifies you. It's a once and for all occurrence, but he wants you to take that reality and put it in front of your face and walk with that reality in front of your face day by day. That's what Paul did. Look at this, Romans chapter 5. Look at the end of verse 2. Or let's start in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult. That's present tense. We are continuously exulting. Paul would say, I've known the Lord for decades now, and I'm still exulting over my justification. We exult continuously in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, we exult even in our tribulations because we're justified. Verse 11, we exult in God. Here's Paul, decades into his walk with the Lord, decades after he was justified and received this verdict. And Paul's saying, we exult, we exult, we exult. When you read Romans 5, you're not reading a man passively writing doctrine. You observe in this chapter a man in worship who is worshiping and exulting in the reality of his justification. We know from chapter 16 that Tertius was the man who was writing down what Paul was saying. So he's dictating this letter. And I just imagine Paul just pacing the room, man. And he's getting excited. He spent how many verses talking about justification? And he comes in chapter 5 and he's like, we exult, we exult, we exult. Write down this reference, Psalm 32, verse 11. David says, be glad in the Lord and exult, you righteous ones. And in the Greek translation of Psalm 32:11, it's the same Greek word that's used here. That's a call to worship in Psalm 32:11. And Paul says, I'm responding to that call to worship. I'm a righteous one, and I'm exulting. He's rejoicing in this.
And God wants you to. That's why he sent his son to die for you. If you've been experiencing more languishing than exulting, please study the doctrine of justification. Would encourage you also get Milton Vincent's book, The Gospel Primer. We have it. We don't normally do this, but it's so important that we return to the simplicity in Christ in the gospel. You can get it at wretched.org/gospel. What a savior. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, a proposed Danish law that would require sermons to be translated and submitted to the government has sparked concern among Christians throughout the region. The proposed legislation would require that all sermons not delivered in the country's native language be translated into Danish and submitted to the government, although it's not clear if the sermons must be submitted before or after they're delivered. The bill has the backing of the Prime Minister. Although the legislation is intended to control radical Muslim groups in the country, more than 250,000 Muslims currently live in Denmark, it has drawn pushback from many Christians. One of those Christians recently told a newspaper in Denmark that he fears that other countries may copy the bill if it's adopted. Speaking of laws, there's one law in America that's worth being celebrated. A South Carolina bill that would protect unborn babies from abortion once their heartbeat is detected has passed its first hurdle on yesterday in the state house. A TV news station in South Carolina reports that the House Constitutional Law Subcommittee voted 3-2 to advance the state Senate bill after listening to approximately 50 people testify. The pro-life legislation passed the state Senate last week and now appears likely to become law. Lawmakers in South Carolina have been trying to pass a heartbeat bill for years, and after Republicans gained seats in the state legislature in November, many hope 2021 will be that year. Governor Henry McMaster and Lieutenant Governor Pamela Yvette both support the bill. During a hearing on Wednesday of this week, Yvette said detectable heartbeat is clear scientific evidence that unborn babies deserve protections under the law. And speaking of abortion legislation, President Joe Biden's approval rating has dropped to under 50% just days after he reversed President Donald Trump's pro-life policies and has now forced Americans to fund Planned Parenthood's global abortion agenda. A new poll released just today finds that Biden's approval rating is now south of 50%, with only 49% of Americans saying that they approve of the job that he has done so far. Some 89% of Democrats said they approve of Biden's performance so far, an opinion shared only by 11% of Republicans. Independents were more evenly split, with a 44% approval rating and 36% disapproving, according to the poll. And with Biden not getting over 50%, it's certainly not surprising, given that a majority of Americans are pro-life and do not want their tax dollars being used to fund abortion. Some 77% of Americans recently polled either oppose or strongly oppose using tax dollars to support international abortion. That's up from 75% of people who gave similar answers each of the past 2 years. A majority of Americans, 58%, oppose using taxpayer money to fund abortions within the United States, and only 19% of Americans either support or strongly support funding abortions outside of the U.S., while another 4% are unsure. And more Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to practice what was just preached? This is Wretched Radio. Would like to lay on you a whole lot of theology. And your assignment, if you choose to accept it, is to not just learn some new stuff about God, but to exult in this knowledge. This is the dreaded cliche, the 8-inch journey that must take place from our head to our heart. Let us see if we can apply what we just heard from Milton Vincent author of Gospel Primer. You can find that at wretched.org/gospel. Encourage you to do so, so that you can exalt in the doctrine of justification, but not just in the knowledge of it, but in the person who wrought it for you and delivered it and sealed it to make sure that you can never lose the joyful verdict that God proclaims over you, forgiven and righteous. This is Milton Vincent. It is a lengthy theological dump. Let us not just learn theology anymore. Will you commit to that? I'm trying to. Failing, but trying. Not just reading my Bible anymore for the sake of learning more stuff. Or under a sense of duty. Well, you got to be in there every day. No read, no feed. I got to make sure that I'm reading my Bible. No. I get to read my Bible so that I can get to know the one who died to save me and rose to seal my forgiveness.
Paul says, having now been justified by his blood, he's speaking of the shed blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross, through the bloody death of Jesus on the cross.
Romans
That's
5.
The purchase of this verdict. So while justification of us is free and it's a gift from God, we now find out it's actually very costly. It cost Jesus his life for us to receive this free gift of a verdict of righteousness. In Romans 5:18, Paul says, so then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. Through one transgression, the transgression of Adam, there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. This is what I would want to say to people that are really impressed with their own righteousness. And they think when they stand before God on judgment day, he's going to say, you're good enough, you're righteous enough. I would just beckon them to go to the cross and see the ultimate act of righteousness that's ever been performed. It will ruin you forever. It'll ruin your view of your own righteousness. You'll never see your own righteousness the same. Here is Jesus in the garden. Lord, is there any other way? And there's no other way. He's sweating, as it were, drops of blood, and he obeys his Father in the ultimate act of obedience and allowing himself to be nailed to a cross. Not only was he displaying amazing righteousness and obedience in going to the cross, but it's the greatest act of love of one's neighbor, love of one's fellow man that's ever been performed in the history of human civilization, as he was willing to shed his blood and to lay down his life for the salvation of all who would come to him by faith. Just take non-believers who are impressed with their own righteousness to the cross and just have them observe this one act of righteousness. Paul was impressed with his own righteousness until he met Jesus. And if you think your own good works are going to get you to heaven, think about Paul. This guy was a Pharisee. This guy was a religious Jew. This guy tithed 20% of his income. 20% of his income he gave to charity every year. And then every third year he gave 30% of his income to charity, essentially. Fasting probably a couple times a week, eating only kosher foods, and very religiously following the Old Testament law as carefully as he could. Paul's own human righteousness would probably blow anyone's righteousness away in this room. But while he was impressed with that, he had an encounter with Jesus. And after seeing Christ in his perfect righteousness, Paul then looked back at himself and he's like, whoa. This is what happened. It ruined his own view of his righteousness. And he's like, I don't want to be caught dead in my righteousness. I do not want to be found by God on judgment day in my own righteousness derived from the law, but I want to be found in the righteousness that is through faith in Jesus. This righteousness comes from Jesus. And not only that, you know, through his work on the cross, that purchased our justification, but it says in Romans 4:25 that he, Christ, was raised for our justification. You say, well, how does, I don't know if that makes sense. He died for our justification. He was raised for our justification. Here's how you fit the two together. His dying on the cross was the purchase of our justification. His rising from the dead is the receipt that validates that purchase. It's God the Father enthusiastically declaring, this purchase of the life of my Son is sufficient to atone for the sins of all who will believe in Jesus and to entitle them to receive this verdict of justification. God looked at Christ's perfect sacrifice, and then he looked at every sin you've ever committed. The sins you've committed that other people know about, the sins you've committed in your thoughts and in your deeds that no one knows about, and you shudder to think that anyone would ever find out. Your deepest, darkest sin secrets. God, who sees all of that, he looked at all of your sin mess. He looked at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and God said, I accept this as payment for this. And in raising Jesus from the dead, God is giving you a receipt that says you can take this to the bank. You can carry this around wherever you want. This will always validate the fact that when Christ died, he atoned for your sins if you have believed in him, and you are justified. And the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago is the standing proof of the fact that you are justified all day, every day, good days and bad days, waking or sleeping, because of what Jesus has done. It has nothing to do with your performance.
Death purchased it for you. The resurrection is the receipt that the transaction has been accepted. It is formalized. It is now a contract that cannot be broken by God and certainly not by you. Do you really think you can lose your salvation? It's just impossible. You can't do it. Which is why, after Paul has laid forth the doctrine of justification in Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 8, it really is the zenith of this theological treatise on the doctrine of justification. Is there something you think that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Notice, in Christ Jesus, which is what he said in Romans 5, 1 and 2, it's in Christ, it's in Christ, it's in Christ. Do you really think you can get yourself out of this legal declaration that God himself made when he raised his Son from the dead? You can't get out of it. You would somehow have to be invalidating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you really think you can accomplish that? Which is why Paul labors. Nothing can do that. And then he gives a laundry list that is quite thorough and exhaustive, and then he puts an exclamation point on it. Nothing, principalities, powers, heights, depths, anything in between. And then he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And the resurrection is your receipt to that promise. Good theology, huh? That's a good one. We'd probably all write that down in our sermon note booklet. Jesus purchased our justification when he died. He gave us a receipt when he raised from the dead. I'm going to use that one. Cool. Use it. But believe it first. Enjoy it first. That was done for you, on your behalf, so that you might be clothed in righteousness. Jesus did all of that for you. Think on these things. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world by constantly consuming cable news, reading internet feeds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which is your reasonable act of worship. Maybe your prayer life has been stale, your quiet time flat. Remember, Jesus has granted you righteousness, his perfect spotless robe of righteousness. Your filthy garments of porn, lying, cheating, self-love, self-righteousness, covetousness, all of that filth was put on him. And in exchange, he gives you his robes to bring you into the luxurious presence of God so that you might have peace with him and enjoy him forever. If that is not sinking into your Christian DNA, please dwell on these things. This is Wretched Radio. 59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. But the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe. And that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
What are some of the best combinations you can think of? Rice and beans? Bacon and eggs? How about spaghetti and meatballs? While those are certainly all delicious choices, there's one even better. You and Wretched. Yep, when you become a Wretched Gospel partner, you and Wretched become one of the best combinations in the world. Combining our efforts allows us to reach more people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Separately, they're pretty good, but combined together, they become great. That's what happens when you become a gospel partner with Wretched. Together, we can reach millions. And for you, there's full transparency and accountability because we're ECFA approved. Get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel partner today by visiting wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. You and Wretched, even better than salt and pepper.
So you've been apprehensive about joining MediShare, have you? Permit me to introduce you to Jose and his wife. He was doing swell, running his own payroll company in Texas, went to the doctor, diagnosis, cancer. Recently switching from health insurance to MediShare. The question before him and his wife, is this really going to work, especially when they received an $85,000 bill?
That bill was paid so fast that it was amazing.
We didn't have to worry. They paid right away. All his doctor visits. It was just amazing.
Amazing indeed. And even though the typical family saves $500 per month with MediShare, it is not just about the money.
Just to have believers knowing that they're praying for you, it melted your heart.
And I tell you, I have nothing but great things to say about MediShare.
So, what you waiting for? To learn more about MediShare, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
Important dates in Christian history. 800 AD. Charlemagne, the grandson of Charles Martel, is crowned emperor by the Pope on Christmas. He ushered in the Carolingian Renaissance, which advanced the church, education, and culture in the Holy Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps this will help this abysmal statistic. This is Wretched Radio. Trust in pastors. Like the Hindenburg. Too soon, it has crashed, and it does not appear to be getting better anytime soon. Get Lifeway, not Gallup. I confuse the two all the time because that's what they both seem to be busy doing. Lifeway Research conducting a poll about America's attitude toward pastors. It's not good, specifically the issue of trust. In 2020, 39% of Americans agreed that their religious leaders had high or very high honesty and ethical standards. How does that compare? Well, let me take you back to 1988. See what Ronald Reagan did? He even fixed that. 67% of Americans believe religious leaders had high honesty and ethical standards. What was that number? I'm bad at math. 67%. Today, it is 39%. I'm pretty certain 39 is a lot less than 67. We'll round up and just call it 30-point drop. What has happened? Well, this particular article, citing the study in Christian Post, they cite the Roman Catholic Church, the scandals that took place. Yeah, that doesn't help. I think the internet doesn't help. We've historically had pastoral scandals, good churches, bad churches. It happens. Today, everybody gets to hear about it. It's just widespread, and people love to share that, don't they? You can go to one of the more secular websites where people chat a lot. What is it? Not Reddit. Jimmy, you're on the secular websites all the time.
Yeah.
What? Apatheos, is that the one where people go?
I've not heard of that. Reddit is one that I've heard of.
Wow, you're in good technical hands.
I know it.
Here at Wretched Radio. The world shares those because it's their way of going, see, I'm right in suppressing what is obvious, which is precisely what the unbeliever does. This cannot be stressed enough that the unbeliever is described as being foolish. Why? Because they say in their heart there is no God. Now, this demonstration, I think, will just solidify that understanding in our hearts. The knowledge that God exists is more, no, not the knowledge. The fact that God exists is more obvious than the nose on my face. And that is obvious. You would never deny, well, that fellow, kind of tall and skinny, and I don't think that he has any way to breathe but through his mouth. I don't see a nose on his face. You can't miss it. If we were golfing together and it started raining, you could just stand underneath my nose and you'd be perfectly dry. I'm just telling you. It's obvious, and nobody would deny that. And yet they deny the existence of God, and that's more obvious. And that is why the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And so when they hear the story of a pastoral slip, they love it. Because it helps them to feel a little bit better. Because even as they go about the business of rejecting the existence of God, it doesn't make them happy. It is the road to unhappiness. It is the road to discontentment. That's why they go seeking all sorts of systems to scratch the itch that is built into the human DNA to answer the questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? How am I supposed to live? What do I do with this guilty, shameful stuff that I have inside of me? And where am I going when I die? So they deny the existence of God. They go looking elsewhere. It never, ever satisfies. And so when they hear about a pastoral scandal, they go, oh, good. Okay, I'll feel better for a second that God doesn't exist because look at one of his presumed followers fell. Remember, that is not the way to judge God. We judge God based on God, not on the actions of some of his followers or presumed followers. I think, however, there's another reason that there is lacking trust in American society when it comes to pastors. 1988, it was at 67%. Now, it's down to 39%. What else happened? Is there anything that's changed in Protestant Christianity? Didn't the seeker-sensitive movement start about that time? It wasn't that about the time when folks like Robert Schuller said, we need to go figure out what the pagans want. Well, we grabbed onto that boy. We ran with that baton. And we've turned church into utter silly centers where it's Pastor Cool, Pastor Groovy, Pastor Hip. I just saw these two guys. One was the worship leader. The other one was the supposed pastor. We have an important message for you today. And then as if the worship leader were Ed McMahon. Yeah, this is very important, very important. This might be the most important message. Could be the most important message ever. And it's like they're doing little like radio banter shtick. What is today? It's Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Day. They're available out in the lobby, man. You got to get them. So keep coming back. They literally said that. So keep coming back. Peanut butter. Ho, ho, ho. How's about that peanut butter? I'm looking at those two boys thinking, and you are under the delusion that people are going to trust you? that they're going to believe anything you say, that they are going to call you to their deathbed, child.
But they had holes in their jeans.
Oh, very cool. Very, very cool. Very, very hip. Very, very worldly. Very, very unimportant. Very, very irrelevant. We look at those people. Celebrity, you don't think celebrities when it comes to trust. You don't think, all right, who can I put my stock into? Ah, actors and actresses. Do we still have actresses? Or are we going to get canceled for that? I'm sorry, I didn't read the playbook today because I didn't want to offend anybody. But why would people trust these silly boys playing pastor of all things? And so this particular article describes the different people that have a lesser esteem in the eyes of society. Lesser. It's pretty hard to find them because, frankly, pastors are pretty near the bottom of the barrel. Politicians came in at 8%. Wow. That's food for thought. Nevertheless, nurses, doctors, all trusted more than pastors. What happened? I think the seeker-sensitive movement has caused so many people to go, they're just amusers, not spiritual shepherds. Perhaps in a small way, this will help you to have more confidence in good shepherds. Alistair Begg, Truth for Life, pastoring in Ohio now for, I don't know, 40 years, made this announcement, and I just went, dude, wow, this is a pastor.
Part of the stated purpose of Truth for Life is that we would be seeking to reinforce the work of local pastors in their local congregations. COVID-19 has done something that we never anticipated, and that is that our live stream from our 9:45 service at Parkside has, as a result of the reach of Truth for Life, developed a huge audience. Or you should say to yourself, well, this is something for which to be thankful. And in one sense, it is. But in terms of our commitment to seeing the local church, the place for primary teaching, primary involvement, I just have begun to feel that it would be important for us not to do this anymore through the live stream channels.
What?
And so we're not going to. As of the beginning of next month, you will no longer be able to access it through Truth for Life.
Hold on.
However, the good news is that you will still be able to do so by going to parksidechurch.com. And if you're wondering about the ongoing material in terms of the sermons preached and the series and everything, that will be business as normal through Truth for Life. It is the live stream aspect of it that will no longer be available through Truth for Life, but still available through parksidechurch.com.
Who does that? You just did the opposite of what we are told we are supposed to be doing. You need to grow your social media platform. Alistair Begg, a pastor, stating, we feel like we're undermining other congregations. And therefore, because of our commitment to the local churches, not just our own, we're going to stop doing that. Why? He wants people to be going to their own church.
And so I hope this will be of help to you in your planning, and particularly those of you who have perhaps begun to feel very comfortable in an online experience, and your pastor would be greatly encouraged by seeing you arrive all masked up and ready to participate and to encourage him. That's my hope. That's my prayer. That's the reason for the decision.
That's a pastor. If you've been perhaps discouraged, we've gone through a bit of a season where we've seen a number of high-profile guys take a tumble. Don't be. Be encouraged. There are still good shepherds out there, not just Alistair Begg. There are men celebrating 50 years. I'm thinking of a Pastor Teagle. 50 years. Raised 3 kids that love the Lord, faithful to his wife for 60 years, I think. And shepherding a church for 50. There are good guys out there. They don't make it onto the Reddit machine. They don't have a ton of views on the YouTuber. But they are faithfully shepherding God's flock as under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while the statistics say our world is not very encouraged by pastors, we most certainly should be. And if you haven't been to your own church in a while, get there. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.